Good to see everyone out this morning. We had a great Sunday last week. For those that may not be aware, Sunday evening, Diane, the lady that I've been studying with, was baptized into Christ. She's unable to be here this morning, but hopefully will be here this evening. So if you have not gotten to meet her, we'll point her out again tonight if she's here. But we're thankful that's happened. It's good to see Gordon out with us this morning. He is home, but he's also at church today, so we're glad that he's able to come out and be with us. Next Sunday, we're going to answer the question, Lord willing, what really happens when I die? And today, we're looking at another serious question. It's sometimes a tough question, and it is, why does God allow suffering? Sometimes it's too easy to find an illustration for a sermon. As a preacher, I like to many times have an illustration that will help bring home the point or make the point of the lesson. And sometimes I have to dig pretty hard, search the internet, do a lot of digging to find an illustration that I can use to help make the point in my lesson. But I must say that today, with the topic that we're looking at, it's not too hard. In fact, it's too easy to find an illustration, to find an example of suffering. All I have to do is turn on the news and we see people that are suffering. All I have to do is read the newspaper, log on to the internet, and you can see people suffering. Many people are suffering financially at this particular time. Some are losing their homes, being forced to move out, not knowing where they're going to go. Some have lost their homes in natural disasters. Others have lost their jobs. We could go on and on with illustrations this morning. And I think that sometimes when we ask that question, why does God allow suffering, there's many different ways that question can be asked. Sometimes it's just a simple why. I remember a few years ago when my brother passed away, I remember standing next to his coffin. And I shook my head. Nobody was there. I wanted to know why. I remember on another occasion, I received a phone call from people I didn't know. They wanted me to come to their house or go to their family's house because their son had taken his life. And as I was going out the door, my wife said, "What are you going to say?" I said, "I don't know. Don't know what I'm going to say. I'll find out when I get there." And as I sat in that living room with that mother and father who were torn apart, I listened to the dad say, "I don't even know if there is a God. But if there is a God, why don't you tell me why He allowed this to happen?" Sometimes it's not fun to be a preacher. Because sometimes it's easy to give those answers in class. Sometimes it's easy to stand up here in front of an audience like this and give these answers. But sometimes you're out there where people are hurting. And you have to answer those questions. You might remember a few years ago, in a community named Breslin, community around Russia, where the young kids were going back to school after a summer break, looking forward to the excitement of school, seeing friends that they hadn't seen over the summer, anticipating the fun and excitement of getting together with those friends once again. And I'm sure if you remember the story, you realize that over the summer they had built that school and terrorists had hidden guns and explosive devices in the floors. And that day of joy quickly turned to sorrow, suffering. Because those kids were taken hostage, their parents were taken hostage, even if they weren't there, they were really held hostage. Negotiations took place. Before you know it, bombs began to explode. And when it was done, there were 335 people dead. Half of them were children. A community devastated. Families destroyed. I'm sure that people asked, just like that father asked, why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow something like this to happen? Why didn't He stop it in the planning stages? Why didn't He do something to those terrorists? Why didn't He intervene? Why didn't He do something to prevent it from happening? See, they're all the same questions. Why? Why does God allow these things to take place if He's all powerful? And all supreme, why doesn't He stop it? I suppose why is that question that we've heard throughout the ages. I'm sure Adam and Eve asked that same question. Why? When their son was killed by his brother, I'm sure they wanted to know why they suffered. And I would imagine they were just like you and I. I'm sure that they shed tears because their hearts were broken. So what do you tell a dad? What do you tell someone that's hurting? Because maybe you've not got to that point yet in your life where you've experienced something that's caused you sorrow. But what do you tell somebody like that? You see, that dad had already been told, well, that was just God's will. His son had taken his life. And he had been told by some well-meaning person that was God's will. I said, first of all, let me tell you and assure you that that isn't God's will. That was not God's will that happened. And if you would, I want you to turn your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 2, because that's where I'm going to start. And then we're going to talk about some of the reasons why these things happen. And if you've heard my sermons in the past, you're not going to hear anything new. It's the same things that I've talked about before, because I've talked about this subject before. But in Genesis chapter 2, I guess I should get over there too. Beginning of verse 15 it says, "And the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." I guess in simplest form there is the answer as to why people do some of the things that they do. I guess there is a reason why God allows suffering to take place. Because when God created the earth and created all the great things that we have in this world that we as individuals can enjoy, He put man in the Garden of Eden. And He told him and commanded him not to eat of that forbidden fruit. In other words, God gave him a choice. God made man a free will, so that he could choose whether or not he was going to serve him. As I pondered this question, I thought about that God gave us a free will. And most of the time, when we want God to intervene, it's when bad things happen. But think about it. God's given us a choice as to whether or not to serve Him, and sometimes we make bad decisions. And as kindly as I could, I tried to tell that father that sometimes those decisions that we make hurt ourselves. They hurt others. Sometimes they hurt a lot of people. God gave us a choice, and I don't think any of us in this audience today would want God to intervene in the affairs of man and physically lift us up and set us over where something bad wouldn't happen. See, you think about that. You say, well, I would.
Yeah.
If something terrible was going to happen, I would want him to do that. You say, well, yeah, we're going to change that there. If something terrible was going to happen. But you see, if God was going to do something when it was terrible, then God would have to do something when it wouldn't seem as terrible. I don't know how many people are diabetics in this room, but I would imagine that there's a few in this room, and I'm sure that there's a few that like to cheat occasionally. Would you want God to pick you up from the table and say, nope, you can't have that piece of pie? Slap your hand? No, you can't have that piece of pie. How about when you're going over the speed limit? Would you want God to intervene so that your car slows down when you're in a hurry? Would you want God to intervene when you're doing something else that you know you shouldn't? Maybe thinking or saying something that you shouldn't. No, we don't want Him to intervene then. How about when we're sitting down for eggs and bacon, getting warm breakfast? Maybe it's loaded with cholesterol. Would we want God to say, no, you're going to eat fiber today? No, we wouldn't want that, would we? You see, that's the fact is, God gave us a choice. And that's what we need to remember from the very beginning, is with that choice, sometimes we hurt ourselves. Just as that young man did, he hurt himself. But that decision to hurt himself also hurt his parents. It also hurt the people that were around him. I did the funeral. There was a big crowd that day. A lot of tears that day. A lot of sadness that day. Didn't know what I was going to say that day either. But I pointed out that sometimes when we make the wrong decision, it's not always God's will. God allows us to use our free will. And that's why sometimes we suffer. Because we've made the wrong choices. We've made the wrong decisions. And those decisions hurt other people. So remember that, and always remember that. And as we go through this lesson, remember that God's given us a choice. And He didn't wind us up and put us down here on this earth to serve Him. He wants us to serve Him, but He didn't make us some little wind-up toy that's the only thing that we can do. We can choose to serve the devil. And when we serve the devil, guess what? It's going to cause problems in our lives. You know, sometimes people look at it, young people look at it as God doesn't want us to have any fun. Yeah, God wants you to have fun. But He wants you to avoid some of the things that causes you to be unhappy, to be miserable, that causes you problems. And you need to listen to what God has to say and obey those things. Why does God allow suffering? Some of the other reasons is the Bible tells us that we are pilgrims and sojourners in this life. And being a sojourner or a pilgrim, we need to realize that this world is not our home. There's a song in our songbook that we sing, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." That's where we want to go. And we need to realize that in this world, we're going to suffer. And part of that is so that we don't get so attached to this world that we don't want to leave it. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as soldiers or strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hand, eternal in the heavens." What's all these writers telling us? You know, last week we looked at the Bible. Can we trust the Bible? Can we rely upon the Bible? And we looked at some of the physical things that we can test and have been proven true over the years. And I believe that if those physical things are true, then we need to be able to trust the spiritual things. And that's what these verses are telling us, that there's something spiritual. There's another world, another place that we're going to, that we look forward to going to. And that this world is just temporary. A place where we prepare to go to the next. And if there was no suffering, then none of us would want to leave this temporary world. No one would have that desire for that eternal home in heaven. And no one would make preparations to go there. Why? Because everything would be rosy and beautiful here in this world. So God allows suffering. Why? So that we realize that this is just temporary. That there is a better place for us. But may I remind you that that better place is only for those who obey God. You see, this world soon loses its attraction. I'm sure that most of our young people in this audience today want to live forever. But ask someone that's reached that 70 how attractive this world is now. You see, we were all young. As hard as that may be for some to believe, we were all young. We all went through that part of life where we thought we wanted to stay here forever. But when I see the suffering in this world, I look forward even more so today than I did 5-10 years ago. I look forward to going to that better place. I'm sure that there's some here that are well up in years that are wanting to go to that place. Why? Because of the agony and pain that they're going through in this life. They begin to desire something better. Another reason suffering is allowed is it brings out the best in people. When we are suffering, we see the constant support of friends and the preparation for food or financial needs that may help us with. I was talking to an individual the other day. We had a mutual friend. And he told me that that friend, one day, he had lost an infant child. And that man came to him and handed him a blank signed check. But he said that man knew I had nothing. And he said he gave me that check and said, "You use it any way that you need." That's what friends do. And sometimes when suffering takes place, we have an opportunity to let people see who their friends are. You ever heard the old saying, you know, when the tough gets going, the tough get gone. They're not there to help you. And sometimes your friends let you down. And you find out that they're really not your friends. And sometimes people in the church, we let each other down. Sometimes we're not always what we should be. We're not where we should be. And we need to realize that even though everyone may forsake us, and even in a time of suffering, there may not be anyone there, we need to realize that we have a friend. And that friend is our Lord. And that He's always there. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we suffer, we all should be suffering. The Bible tells us to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And we see this happen. We see where people support their neighbors. We see where people support their friends. In fact, we see where people support and encourage people that they don't even know, strangers. Like in the case of natural disasters. How many times have we collected food? Have we collected items to send down to people that were devastated in a hurricane? You might remember there was a time that we collected a great number of funds to send to the tsunami relief. Why? Because we knew people were suffering and it hurt us. So we wanted to help. That's one of the things that suffering allows us to do. It brings up the best in us. It gives us an opportunity to help those. And we see people that have lost homes by fire or tornado. We see people who are terminally ill. It gives us an opportunity to show our love. That may be one reason why the early Christians rejoiced in their trials. As Mo read for us in James chapter 1, when it talks about counting it a joy. Maybe that's why they counted it a joy, because they understood that that tribulation could help develop character. Help them become what God wanted them to become. Just as it may help us become what God wants us to be. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and that patience experience, and experience hope." Sometimes as when we suffer, it allows us to grow. Suffering gives us an occasion to silence the enemies of God. Remember the story of Job Satan went to God, and he wanted to prove to God that God was wrong about Job. That Job only served God because God had blessed him. And if God took away those blessings, then Job would be just like everybody else, and he would curse God. You know the story. God allowed Satan to take some of those things away from Job. And in that particular story, we find in the very beginning of the book that very quickly Job loses possessions. He loses those things that were close to him. He lost his family. And I don't mean they just disappeared. They died. His possessions were carried away. And imagine how devastating that would be. Put yourself in Job's situation. And realize what it would be like to suffer as he was. But could we have the attitude that Job had? When he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. And naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job in his suffering, Job in his trial, was still able to praise God because he realized that those things weren't his, that they were a blessing from God. Parents, listen to what Job said. He realized that his children were a blessing from God. As parents, we need to realize that they're a blessing from God. Job realized that. But Job's patients were able to silence Satan. And likewise, when we are suffering, when we put our faith in God and remain faithful to God, we silence those who are foolish among us. Because there are many today who think that we're foolish for putting our faith in God. And there are many times that there are people out in the world look at us and say, "Well, why would you want to follow a God that allows all these terrible things to happen?" We get ridiculed by those who make fun of us because of the things that we believe concerning the teachings of Christ. They look at us as if we're foolish. But as Christians, we realize that we're not foolish. But those out in the world who reject God are the ones that are really foolish. We have an opportunity to let people see that faith that we have in God. And when we continue to suffer, we realize also that it's an opportunity to do good, to let our light shine so that the world may know that we have faith in God, and that our God may be glorified. When we have faith, we have that faith in that which sustains us through suffering, and in the love that we show toward others, we can let them know that we care about those who are suffering. So we patiently endure by doing good in times of suffering so that our light shines, and so that God can be glorified, because it gives us the opportunity to do good. But also suffering causes us to be more appreciative. We all receive so many good things from God. So many good things in His life that so often we take for granted. How many of us take for granted the health that we have? Sometimes we see people take that for granted until they lose it. Then they appreciate what they had. Sometimes I've heard people that realize what they had in their loved one after their loved one was gone. I've heard husbands who say, "Oh, I wish I had treated my wife better because I realize what I have had now." I've heard wives do the same thing. Parents with their children, and children with their parents that are taken for granted. Good friends and loving families are things that we should never take for granted. We should express our gratitude to God. We should be more appreciative to those things that we have. I've often said, don't wait till it's too late to tell someone you love them. Do it now. But oftentimes, we wait until it's too late. Suffering makes us more dependent upon God. Too often we think that we are self-sufficient. We need God. And we realize many times that we're dependent upon God when you're sitting in a hospital waiting room and the doctors come out and say, "We've done all that we can do. There's nothing else that we can do." You realize then that you're dependent upon God. And that's when we start to pray. We realize then that we need God like at no other time. It's like on those times that we suffer, we realize that we are dependent upon God for every breath. Just like Paul said in Acts 17 and verse 28, "In Him we live and move and have our being." We realize at that time, when there's nothing else that anyone else can do, just how dependent upon God we are. Also, suffering purifies us. Have your Bible, turn with me over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory in the appearing of Jesus Christ." You say, how can suffering be like refining gold? To get pure gold, you put it to heat. And you heat that up and all the impurities float to the surface and you can separate the impurities to where you get the pure gold. And we all know the value of gold. In fact, it's going through the roof on prices. It's very valuable. And that's what suffering is compared to in our life. How does that suffering affect us? I'm reminded of an individual whose wife had been in a terrible accident. And he realized that prayer was important. And many times when people are suffering, our loved ones are suffering, or we're suffering, we realize how dependent we are upon God. And we realize that we need to talk to Him. And what happens when that happens? When we need to talk to God and we're very serious, we start to examine our life. We look at our hearts, we look at our life, and we say, is this right? Am I doing the right things? Am I living the right way? And I want to get rid of those things. Why? That I'm not doing it right. I want to get rid of those things. Why? Because I don't want anything to stand in the way of me serving God. I want Him to hear my prayer. I want Him to answer my prayer. And I don't want any sin in my life. So therefore, when suffering comes into my life, I'm going to want to make sure that everything is right. And I'm going to examine my life. And I think that when we pray, we all know how to pray. But guess what? We learn how to be diligent in prayer, how to be earnest in prayer when we're going through a trial, when we're going through a process that isn't pleasant. It's those times that we realize what it means to pray earnestly, what it means to pray fervently, what it means to be diligent. And we also realize what it means to purify our life, because on those occasions, it's very easy sometimes in life to just take life for granted and to get a little sloppy in the way that we live. But when we need something very badly and we realize that we're totally dependent upon God, it's on those occasions that we realize we need to straighten our life up. Too bad we wait till something bad happens to do that. But if that's what straightened out your life, keep it straight. Keep it cleaned up. So that you don't have to worry about that prayer being heard, because you'll know that it's being heard. We need God. We don't want anything to hinder that relationship. When we suffer, we also, it makes us sympathetic to others. Paul wrote of that value in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. when he said, "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." When we suffer, it makes us sympathetic to others who are going through the same thing. You know, sometimes as human beings, we say some of the silliest things. Someone may be at a funeral home and they may be weeping, crying. We'll walk up and we'll say, "Oh, I know how you feel. I lost my dog the other day." That's not how we feel. That's not the same. Not comparison. But yet people say those things. I've learned over going through all the suffering that I've gone through, losing my mom, dad, brother, I've learned that you don't say those things anymore. You may know how they feel in certain areas, but every person is human. So does that mean you don't say anything? No, that doesn't mean you don't say anything. But sometimes people's relationships are different with each other than your relationship. So don't just assume that they're going to feel the way you feel or react the way you're going to react or get over it like you're going to get over it. Be sympathetic to them. Put yourself in their shoes. Imagine what it would be like to be in that position. And treat them how you would want to be treated yourself. Sometimes we say some silly things. We need to realize that we need to be able to comfort those. As I said, weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those that rejoice. And as we experience the suffering, we may find out what it's like to lose a father, to lose a mother, to lose a sister, to lose a brother. We may find out what it's like to lose a house. We may find out what it's like to have everything wiped out in a natural disaster. We may find out what it's like to lose a job. We may find out what it's like to be forced to move out because you can't make the payment. Not because you got in deeper than you know you should have, but because of circumstances you've lost your job and you can't make the payment. Well, we could go on and on. Suffering causes us to be sympathetic. You ever seen someone who hadn't experienced any of those problems in life and how hard they can be? "Oh, if I was in that situation, this is what I would do. Oh, this is how I would handle it. Oh, this is what I would say." And then they're faced in that situation. And you look down and you say, "Can I help you get up?" Because they find out how devastating it is. God allows those things to happen to us so that we don't get up there on that high horse. So that we can realize what it's like. So we can look forward to that home in heaven. So we can see why righteous people why a righteous and merciful God allows suffering, even for those who are innocent. And if we look at suffering purely from man's point of view, we will not understand why it happens or why it's even permitted. But remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God knows what's best for us. He gave us that free will to choose. And sometimes those decisions that we make hurt ourselves, hurt others, and hurt a great community of people. And because suffering takes place, we have all these good things that can happen. Remember what Paul said. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord. God loves us, and He can make good happen out of the bad things that take place in our lives. And in Jesus we realize that we have the redemption, and that we can, that even in suffering we know that He is there working to bring about good in our lives. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. He suffered on the cross. God knows what it's like. He saw His Son die on the cross. So He can empathize with us, feel for us. Sometimes it is too easy to find an illustration for a sermon, because suffering is everywhere. However, we need to realize that we're not alone in suffering. Jesus tells us that when we go into all the world to preach the gospel, that we're to teach, and then we're to baptize, and that we're to teach some more. But in that command to go, He also tells us that, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He's with us. We're never alone. And sometimes in suffering, we think that we're all by ourselves. And sometimes we may be. Because sometimes, as friends, we forsake those that are suffering. Sometimes we let our friends down. Sometimes we let our family down. But we need to realize that we have God. And God is always there. And yes, even in the times of suffering, He's there with us. So don't let suffering cause you to turn away from God, to think that He's unjust. Remember, the next time you're eating something that you shouldn't be, would you want God to intervene? The next time you sit down in front of the television and you're watching something that you shouldn't be, would you want God to intervene? The next time you're going to say something that you shouldn't say, would you want God to shut your mouth? You say, "Yes, I would want Him to do all of those." I doubt it. Because we like that free will. God allows suffering for a reason, so that we'll prepare in this life for that life in the hereafter. And that's the question this morning: are you ready for that life? Are you ready for that judgment you're going to give someday at the end of this life? Jesus came to this world to suffer and to die so that we could have the redemption of sin, so we could have the forgiveness of sin, so that we could have a home in heaven. Question is, are you a child of God today? If you obeyed that gospel that Jesus told His disciples to go into all the world and preach. If not, then you need to obey that gospel. Because He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The fact that Jesus died on the cross, that He was buried in the grave, that He died for our sins and was buried, and that He rose victorious over the grave. That's what He wanted taught, and we find that in all the examples in the New Testament. That's what was taught, that Jesus died, that He was buried, and that He rose victorious over the grave. He wanted that gospel taught. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Do you believe that Jesus Christ did that? Do you believe that He is the Son of God? Are you willing to put your faith in Him, turn away from sin, confess His name before men, and be buried with Him in baptism, to rise up to walk in newness of life? Because you see, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." This morning, you can put your trust and faith in Him by being obedient to that gospel, knowing that you're preparing for that home in heaven. Also knowing that it doesn't stop when you obey the gospel, but it's a continuation, a process that continues on to the end of your life. And while you're here on this earth, that you must live a faithful life in service to God. Sometimes we sin. Sometimes we do things that are wrong. Sometimes we let God down. Sometimes there's things that we can do to take care of that situation. But if there's something in our life that we've done in a public way, then we need to make that confession publicly, that we've sinned, and ask for God's forgiveness. If we've done it in a private way, maybe between a couple of people, you need to go to those people and talk to them about it and ask for their forgiveness. If you've done it just between you and God, then you need to ask God's forgiveness. God is faithful and just to forgive you. And He'll do that today. If you need our help in any way, we encourage you to come and have a seat up here on the front row while together we stand and sing.